KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8:03, it's clear and 49 degrees in Atlantic. We look for mostly sunny skies here today with a high near 70. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. And our news is brought to you this hour by First National Bank. They're locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. In Western Iowa news, Iowa officials have canceled a $2.5 million grant for a company proposing a technology to make fertilizer from corn cobs at a plant near Menlo. A spokeswoman for Iowa's Economic Development Agency said Tuesday that Syngest Incorporated defaulted on its contract by not disclosing in its 2009 application that Chairman Sergey Rondeva had been sued for racketeering and fraud. The agency released a copy of the default notice to the Associated Press, which reported on the lawsuit last month. The case was settled in 2009, along with another lawsuit, in which Rivanda was part of an investor group that accused others of fraud and racketeering. Syngest answered no to a question asking whether there were any judgments or court actions completed or pending against officers. Syngest CEO Jack Oswald said the cancellation, quote, appears to be a knee-jerk reaction, and the company hopes to convince the state to change its mind and resume the grant funding. Rondeva has declined comment. News time is 8:04.
First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Anita, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Some parents and students who attended the Atlantic Board of Education's meeting Tuesday night at the high school expressed their concerns over the possible closure of the ELO, or Extended Learning Opportunities, program for advanced students at the middle school. Lydia Rothfuss and her son Aaron were among those who spoke. Rothfuss said that she has three students in the school system, one each in the second, sixth, and eighth grades. She said it was her understanding the program will be disbanded this coming fall in favor of a more integrated approach to education, in which advanced students would be attending classes with remedial students who are at an average level.
I really strongly oppose this change. At the current program, we have our advanced students working together in a setting where they have a peer group of like abilities so that they have they're challenged as a group by their instructors and their course material, but they're also challenged by their peer group.
She said the current setting gives those students the feeling they can excel based on their own ability level.
I'm concerned that in an integrated setting, those students who are currently the cream of the crop educationally are going to feel like they need to dumb down their abilities in order to fit into a different classroom setting. And if not challenged, they're going to be more prone to acting up because they're going to be bored and distracted.
She said she thinks it's unreasonable to expect one teacher in a classroom of 15 to 25 students to teach to such varied levels of abilities and educational opportunities. Her son, Aaron, who would be affected by the change if it's approved, said the ELO program is designed to help kids excel, and putting everyone together in one setting would create more stress for teachers and students. Another student who is in the ELO program said she didn't feel she was being challenged as much as she should have been prior to entering the program.
And since I've been in the ELO program, I feel like I've been challenged to do better than I was before.
Board President Christy Pellett said they'll take the comments under advisement. The Atlantic High School class night was held last week for graduating seniors, and following recognition ceremonies, two of the 2012 graduating seniors were asked to stay on the stage a little longer. Taylor Berry and Ian McNeese learned they were both being rewarded with this year's Trevor Fredrickson Memorial Fund scholarships worth $750 each, and they were notified $250 will be gifted in their names to each of the charities of their choice. A question on the scholarship application asked graduating seniors, if you could financially support any charity, which would it be and why? While Berry specifically noted Toys for Tots, Playground Builders was selected by the fund on behalf of McNeese's wish to see playgrounds built in Iraq. Fund Representative Melanie Petty said the donations are something that they added to the scholarship last year, and they hope it encourages recipients to continue to support the things that are meaningful to them. The Trevor Fredrickson Memorial Fund has given back over $35,000 to the community using proceeds from the annual T-Fred Memorial Golf Tournament. This year's event is scheduled for Saturday, August 11th at Nishna Hills Golf Club in Atlantic. A video produced by a reading class at the Cam Middle School has won a $500 grant award from the Iowa Department of Education. The award presented to Mrs. Van Tyker's reading class was for the second runner-up place in the Youth in Action Healthy Iowa contest created by the Iowa Department of Education. The class received a flyer in January related to the theme of healthy living and highlights how students combine school and getting fit. Mrs. Van Tyker's class exercised 20 minutes each class period and test at the end. As a result, scores have been going up. Students also spend 20 minutes every morning during the week of Iowa assessment testing, hoping that a raised heart rate would improve test scores. The Cam Middle School is sending a health message to their students this week. With the award prize won in Mrs. Van Tyker's reading class, the students are being treated to a new fruit each day, learning during the last period of the day. A fitness class was also created for the current school year by Mrs. Brown, which allowed students to learn and practice fitness activities and eat healthy snacks. With the help of Hy-Vee, students are to gather each day for a social time and a time to eat a fresh fruit that they may not have had in a while. That includes watermelon, Athena cantaloupe, fresh pineapple, mangoes, and dragon fruit, as well as fresh strawberries. Hy-Vee is providing the fruit at cost or slightly below cost and is assisting in the healthy living planning process. The Iowa Senate has rejected a bill that would have let results from an errant vote stand in the western Iowa town of Adel. Adel voters approved the 1 cent local sales tax in August of 2010, but then officials learned the election was improperly conducted. Iowa law says that unless a town has at least 50% of a county's population, then the vote must include other areas of the county, even though it would apply only to a specific jurisdiction. City officials say that even if the vote had been taken countywide, the measure would have passed. City leaders asked the legislature to approve a legislative exception so the Adel vote could stand. The House approved the bill, and on Tuesday, but the Senate didn't. A pretrial hearing for an Atlantic woman facing a serious misdemeanor charge of invasion of privacy, nudity, scheduled to have taken place on Monday, has instead been continued until May the 21st. According to online court records, Judge Jeffrey Larson granted a continuance Monday in the case of 35-year-old Amanda Sedina, who is accused of taking an inappropriate picture of a bathing 78-year-old female resident at the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. The incident had been reported to authorities on March 22nd. Sedina, who was an employee of the nursing home at the time the alleged incident occurred, entered a written plea of not guilty to the charge on April 18th. Her trial is set to take place May 30th in Shelby County District Court. The Iowa Department of Natural Resources says trumpeter swans will be released at two locations in southwest Iowa on May the 10th. Each release will be preceded by a 20-minute program with an opportunity to view the swans up close. The first swan release will be at Rapp Park, north of Shenandoah, at 9:30 a.m. Again, that's on May the 10th, which is tomorrow. The second site is the Riverton Wildlife Area, Jensen Tract, in Fremont County, with a program of the Riverton City Park Pavilion preceding the swan release at 2 p.m. Four swans will be released at each site. Trumpeter swans, if you didn't know, are the largest waterfowl in North America. They weigh up to 32 pounds and have a wingspan of up to 8 feet. The swans being released are part of the Iowa DNR's statewide trumpeter swan restoration effort to restore wild, free-flying swans to Iowa. And finally, in Western Iowa news, the pilot who helped save 184 people during a plane crash in Sioux City, Iowa, has died at the age of 69. Dennis Fitch of St. Charles, Illinois, died Monday after suffering from brain cancer. You may recall in July of 1989, Fitch was a United pilot and flight instructor who happened to be a passenger on United Flight 232 when it lost all of its hydraulic power while flying from Denver to Chicago. The DC-10 crash landed, killing 111 people. Fitch and 184 others survived, though, due largely to his troubleshooting from the cockpit floor, where he and the crew struggled to control the plunging jet. United pilot Mike Hamilton says what happened that day has become a case study in how a crew could work together in an emergency. News time is 8:12.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
In the funeral announcements, Mildred Mill Bear, age 93, a longtime Atlantic resident, died Saturday at the Cass County Hospital. A private family committal service for Mill Bear will be today at 10:30 at the Shelby Cemetery in Shelby. Roland Funeral Service of Atlantic has arrangements. James Lee Kleinsmith, age 61, of Walnut, died Friday at his home. Graveside services for James Kleinsmith will be held today at 2 o'clock at the Iowa Veterans Cemetery in Van Meter. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Berdella Meyer, age 90, of Manila, died Sunday at the Manila Manor. Services for Berdella Meyer will be held tomorrow at 11 o'clock at Trinity Lutheran Church in Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has arrangements. Sherry Zeitlow, age 68, of Urbandale and formerly of the Avondale area, died May the 2nd in Des Moines. Celebration of life services for Sherry Zeitlow will be held Friday at 3 o'clock at the Zion Lutheran Church on Beaver Avenue in Des Moines. There will also be celebration of life service for Sherry Zeitlow on Saturday at 10:30 at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. And Barbara Fries, age 78, of Anita, died Tuesday at the Colonial Manor. Funeral services for Barbara Fries will be Saturday at 10:30 at the Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Anita has arrangements. The news was brought to you by First National Bank with locations in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.